Figure skating fans, welcome back. It's episode 3 of Ice Network's podcast, Ice Talk. I'm Nick McCarville, your host on Ice Talk and an Ice Network contributor and a New York City-based journalist. We're one Grand Prix down and five to go until the Grand Prix final, with Skate America wrapping up this past weekend in Chicago. This week, we'll look ahead to Skate Canada, set for this weekend, October 28th to 30th in Mississauga, Canada, just outside Toronto. I'm joined by two-time U.S. pair champion John Coughlin to take a look at the Skate Canada field, as well as the comeback, well, can I call them kids? It's Tessa Virtue and Scott Moore, the 2010 Olympic champions and 2014 silver medalists in ice dance, making a long-awaited return to the sport with one goal in mind, that podium in Pyeongchang. I'm now joined by John Coughlin, a two-time U.S. pair champion who is a touring pro alongside partner Katie Denny. He's also an analyst while serving as a consultant for MK John Wilson Blades, and he tells me currently living out of his suitcase. John, is that true?
I mean, it's true, but it's a really nice suitcase, so don't feel too bad for me.
Okay, good. It's a swanky life you lead. Tell me what you're up to this fall, John.
Up to a little bit of everything, to be honest. Katie and I just kind of finished up the summer at the Sun Valley Resort, skating in the show there. And
good.
We're switching gears now and jumping right over Halloween and getting into Christmas program choreography for some of the Disney holiday specials that'll be on TV.
And then John, Nationals heads back to your hometown of Kansas City in January. So I'm guessing you're somewhat involved there too, right?
I'm one of the honorary co-chair ambassadors with my lifelong friend Ryan Bradley. So we've been spending
awesome.
A lot of time this spring and summer promoting the U.S. championships, and obviously that'll ramp up as we get closer to the event.
Yeah, and cool for Kansas City. First time the U.S. champs are there since 85. It's been a minute.
Which was the year I was born, and one of my idols growing up in the Kansas City area was Aaron Nielsen, and he stood on the podium in the junior men's event there. So to have it come back here and have it be so, you know, tied to the community that I grew up in is a really special thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, happy to have you. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. They're on the comeback train here for Ice Dance. Let's talk all things Skate Canada first, but I'm just interested, especially in from your point of view as a world-class athlete, what does it take for a skater to come back? Because Tessa and Scott weren't just gone for one season, they were gone for two. So I'm guessing there's a lot that they have to sort of get used to and push their body even further now that they're a little older.
Yeah, well, the good thing about our sport is that it's not like other sports. Like for football, for instance, they use the term, oh, he's coming off the couch, meaning he didn't have a job, he wasn't working, he was just sitting around waiting. The great news for Tessa and Scott is that they're in pretty high demand as performers. So they've been out there. They've felt the energy and adrenaline of a crowd. They've been staying in shape. So I don't think it will be as tough as other people might think for them to get back to that world-class status.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, they've been doing shows, and I think obviously thinking about this comeback for a while. They announced it in February. I just, you know, I think that, to me, as a fan and obviously as a writer in the sport, I just appreciate storylines like this when athletes do choose to, you know, they obviously stepped away but then made that conscious choice to come back. I mean, I think that there's a lot of fire in their bellies to not only do well, but they want another medal in Pyeongchang.
Well, here's the thing with them, too. They're coming back purely on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
They are Olympic champions. No one will ever take that away from them. So that makes them feel kind of dangerous. And like they can skate with that reckless abandon of, we don't owe anybody anything. We're not here to prove anything other than maybe to ourselves. So you have to think that they're skating for the right reasons. And I'm looking forward to seeing that chemistry. You know, you hear so much about the French, and believe me, I get it. They're one of the greatest dance teams I have ever seen in my life. To sit next to Charlie White and hear him rave about them at Team Challenge Cup is awe-inspiring in itself. But, I mean, they were the ones that kind of started that trend, and they brought that athleticism and that chemistry. And I'm excited to see them come back and go head to head. And just to think of all the places in the world that they went to go train is alongside the reigning world champions. They're going to be in tip top shape.
Yeah, and it's brilliant in a way, because they have those years with Meryl and Charlie alongside them with Marina Zueva, and now going and joining alongside what Gabby and Guillaume are doing. I really do think that it's not only going to help them, but I think it'll help the discipline and the sport overall.
Oh, absolutely. And as if that discipline needed any more help. You can argue that that's the flagship of the sport now. And 10, 15 years ago, people to say that, you would get laughter in response. But now, I mean, there's log jams all the way down through junior and novice with talent in the United States. So definitely an exciting discipline to watch this year.
John, on that topic real quick, last week I had Phil Hirsch on here, Ice Network contributor, and he was talking about sort of the opposite of that is pairs really struggling globally. Do you see that, and where do you see the need for improvement as far as pairs go?
So I have an interesting take on that, and there's no getting around the fact that there isn't a ton of depth in pairs, but I think the bigger global issue is dwindling numbers in men's skating in general. And I think that if you're an ice dancer, an ice dance coach, a pair skater, a pair coach, or a singles coach who aspires to have men to work with in their talent pool, you need to just be an ambassador for men's skating in general.
Right.
Because we have to realize that skating is a niche sport, and a sub-niche within that is pair skating. So the numbers just aren't huge to draw from to begin with. So I think we'll see a lot of initiatives that are already kind of being charged forward with U.S. figure skating, but globally, to make sure that we're keeping the interest of young male athletes and prospective male athletes.
Right. Well, speaking of men, the men's field is rather stacked at Skate Canada, I think we could say. Patrick Chan, obviously there, Yuzuru Hanyu, Grant Hochstein, Ross Miner, Jan Han, Tahito Mura, and Misha Gi all making an appearance in Mississauga. Patrick made his comeback last year. There were some bumps in that road. He's made quite the coaching switch this off season. John, what do you look for from him, and then also for Yuzu? Once again, is it reloading, or does he make any changes after not being able to win a world title in Boston?
I mean, I'll be interested to see, first of all, from Patrick Chan, how he chooses to up the ante technically.
Yeah.
I'm one of his biggest advocates. I think that his skating skills and the way he carves the ice, the depth of his knee, and the flow that he generates is I've never, ever seen anything like it in any discipline. So especially with that in mind, I'm looking forward to this matchup with Yuzuru, who's also looking for a bit of redemption. They have it on a different scale, obviously, with their results from the World Championships, but neither of them left that event with a great taste in their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously Yuzu has proven himself. I mean, he's Olympic champion, and there's no question that he has the ability, but I also think that there's not enough credit given to Javi and what he's been able to do the last few years, and the way that he's up the ante. And I think it makes for a great men's race, in a sense, not only this season, but towards Pyeongchang too.
Well, there's something about Javi that he's just so charismatic, but he's also very unassuming, right? Patrick has this legendary brand that's been going for years strong now. He will be immortalized in Canada, which is one of the skating meccas of the world.
Right.
Yuzuru is a sensation, and he skates for another powerhouse nation. But for some reason, and it probably goes to where Javi's from, right? That he's able to somehow, with all of the skill set that he has, be able to fly under the radar. And I think that's been a great thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to train alongside the best, but let the other people kind of suck in all the limelight, which can sometimes be a distraction.
Yeah. John, it was fascinating. I was up in Toronto for a different job this summer, and I got to interview Javi. And it was, just walking through the lobby and, hey, Nick, how's it going? It just so unassuming. And I almost think that helps his skating a little bit. He really has this easygoingness about him that as you're saying, it transfers to the ice somehow and it brings people in. And then he's been able to hit those skills that for a long time Yuzu felt like he was, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the field.
Well, and that unassuming kind of relatable character that Javi portrays on the ice, and sometimes he gets accused of staying within a certain box as far as characters and genres that he selects. But I don't blame him at all. In the same way that I don't blame Jason Brown for milking every GOE that he can out of, you know, the extension in and out of every single element. You do what you're good at as an athlete, and that's how you get yourself as far as you can. And he has found a way to package himself that, I mean, you watch Javi skate, and it seems like he's doing an exhibition program and that he's skating purely for the crowd and not for the panel. But then the great thing for him is the panel is affected by that as well in a positive way. Mm.
John, what else jumps out to you as far as Skate Canada this weekend? We've got Medvedeva coming back after the season that she had. I know that you'll be watching Duhamel and Radford. Where do your eyes go for the rest of the field?
So let's talk about the ladies' event for a second. We have Elizaveta Tukhimisheva coming back, Evgenia Medvedeva looking to capitalize on the momentum that she gained. And to me, the person that might be the best lady skater in the world, Satoko Miyahara, I think she is drastically underrated. You look at her skating skills, I feel like she could be a world dance champion. I feel like she could be a world pair champion. She gets a little bit of flack sometimes for her jumps not being big enough. But I saw her in Salt Lake earlier this year, and she's just a tiny person. I don't know what people want from her. But her jumps are clean. You don't see the downgrades. I think she's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, she got left off the podium at the Worlds last year. But obviously, you know, Mawasada is still around, but there's that whole crop of Japanese women that really have continued to stay at the top of the sport. It will be interesting to see if she's the one that can kind of bob above the rest.
Well, don't count out also in that ladies' event, Mirai Nagasu. I saw her earlier this summer, and she is in pristine condition. I don't know what changed in her regimen through the off season, but she looks rejuvenated and ready to attack. So I'm excited to see. And you know Mirai. She's been through it. She's been to the Olympics, and she's starting to build towards that cusp of the 2018 Games. You know she's going to be ready, and the momentum has to start this year.
I mean, that would be an incredible story to see Mirai come back for 2018. Also in the women's event, Caitlin Osmond of Canada, Rika Ongo, another Japanese skater, Miyahara, Medvedeva, Tukhimisheva, and Nagasu. Now, with Elizaveta, the season that she had after missing the Olympics, but then to watch her sort of crumble before our eyes last season, is she going to be able to sort of right her ship this year?
That's something that remains to be seen. She seems like someone that's very much a feel skater versus a pure stone-cold technique skater. And what I mean by that is a feel skater is affected by external things, whereas a technical, a more cold and matter-of-fact skater can get through their programs and doesn't seem to be swayed by the roar of the crowd, their support or their lack of support, and external variables. So for her, it's all about confidence and starting out on the right foot. To me, how she skates early in the season is going to be very indicative of how the rest of the season goes for her.
Yeah. And then, you know, I also want to get your point of view just on pairs, you know, for the entire season. But I think no matter where you start that discussion, it has to start with Megan and Eric and what they've continued to accomplish in pairs. And will that, you know, be altered at all in this next season?
Duhamel and Radford, the conversation has to start and end with them because they've earned it. And you get the feeling at times that people were fighting that trend because they thought that you couldn't put Megan and Eric in whatever box people like to say pair skating is. But like it or not, they know what they're doing with every single breath and every single movement. It comes from their coaching. It comes from their choreography. You can tell in the way that they relate to each other and you know, how iconic she is for her chatter and kiss and cry, that they're very actively engaged throughout the program, knowing what they need to do to reach their goals.
Do you think it's at all dangerous that, I mean, they had such a standout season last year. Did they peak at the wrong time, or do you feel like they're only going to build up from there?
See, I don't think so. I looked at the year before as a very momentous world title season for them, where I felt like they were on this mission and no one was going to get in their way. Last year, I felt like they went through some growing pains. You know, they were toying with the idea of the quad flip, and it seemed to adversely affect the triple, which is understandable when you're, you know, having to go back to three revolutions and almost getting disoriented in the air. And there were times where they seemed a little bit disorganized. But the fact that they were able to weather that storm as a team and come together to tell such a great story and skate so well on, it wasn't home soil, but they were North American.
Yeah, it
skating
felt like
in Boston.
It at times.
It
yeah.
felt like there was
really
exactly
did.
There was some momentum behind them. So I was very impressed with them last year.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I mean, 14-15 was almost the flawless season, and then as you're pointing out, they had those sort of growing pains last year. It does almost prove that they can go through the trepidations and they can have the struggles, but they can still come out on top. I think it'll be fascinating to watch them. And then, you know, there's obviously this whole field of challengers that I think are chasing them this coming season too.
Absolutely. And going down the list here, one of them that jumps out to me is the Americans, Denny and Frazier. In their second event, they opened at Skate America. They're always looking to put pressure on the leaders, a team that has a really long history together, going back to roller skating days when they were kids, but had to sit out last season in a huge disappointment because she had a serious knee injury in the spring. So they missed the entire Grand Prix season. Mind you, they almost made the Grand Prix final the year before. So they're obviously looking to gain that momentum, be healthy and 100%, and make that push towards 2018.
And then, John, who else? I mean, just, you know, a couple more names or teams. Who else jumps out at you, whether it be Skate Canada or this season as a whole in pairs?
You know, one of the people that I'll be looking for are the Germans, mm-hmm. Ilyona Savchenko and Bruno Massot. What they do is so flawless in my mind from a pure skating skills standpoint. Some of the transitions that they had last year, specifically in their free skate, were undermarked in my mind. And I think what has held them back in this past season was the fact that their program was so out of the box and so abstract. So I'll look for them this season to make sure that they're having programs that are relatable. Because at the end of the day, we talked about it earlier, you have 4.5 minutes to capture the audience. And if you leave them scratching their heads, even if you do these incredible elements, at this level, everyone's doing incredible elements, and you have to differentiate yourself.
And, John, what does, if anything, Vilasazar and Trankov sitting out the Grand Prix season, does that signal anything to you, or they're just all eyes on Pyeongchang?
You know, I'm not sure what that means for them related to Pyeongchang, but I know what it means in the interim is that there is space at the top in Russia. And one thing we know about the Russian Federation is they will have their ducks in a row in the para event heading up to the Olympic Games. So Stolbova and Klimov will obviously be looking to claim that number one spot, having been medalists at the Grand Prix final and having that impressive resume behind them. I think they have the tools to do it, but there are plenty of young Russian pairs that are nipping at their heels.
Very good. John, is there a time or a place that people can catch you in Kansas City and in the lead up to nationals from now?
Leading up to the U.S. Championships, I'll be promoting a lot around town, local media, radio shows. Katie and I are going to try to fit in some exhibitions at Crown Center, which is a very picturesque outdoor rink in the heart of downtown, and trying to really set the mood headed into the U.S. Championship.
Very good. Well, John Coughlin, two-time U.S. pair champion, thank you for joining us on Ice Talk. Happy to have you.
Nick, thanks for having me.
That was John Coughlin once again, a U.S. pair champ, and he is an Ice Network contributor talking all things pairs and also the lead up to Skate Canada this weekend. Tessa and Scott make their comeback this season, and everyone is excited about it. Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer, welcome to Ice Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. What an honor.
Well,
we're already in sync. This is gross.
Yeah, no, it's good. That means the comeback's going well. Tell me how it has felt to be back. You've got a competition under your belt, and does it feel like you ever really left the sport?
Oh, it definitely feels like we left the sport, that's for sure. I mean, the state of ice dancing has really evolved, and, you know, watching from the sidelines, we knew it was going to be a big challenge to come back and try and, you know, push ourselves to contend with the best in the world again. So, you know, we still have to get some rust off. That's why we, you know, did events like Autumn Classic in Montreal. But, you know, we're really excited for the Grand Prix series. And, you know, it feels like we have been away, but we've been training really hard, and we're just going to have to rely on that. And hopefully kind of some of the lessons that we learned in the past will come back and remind us of how to do this.
Yeah. Tessa, how has it felt for you guys being, you made that change to Montreal with Marie-France and Patrice, and how has it felt there? Has it felt different? And do you feel as though that's sort of gotten you back in your game as far as what you've wanted to accomplish for this Grand Prix series?
Well, do you know, there's a strange dichotomy going on. On one hand, everything about our lives has changed drastically.
Yeah.
Our entire support staff is new. Our on-ice coaching team, our, you know, the city we're living in, everything. We're back to being amateur athletes. You know, everything is new, and yet it feels like home, and it feels right.
Mm.
So I think that's a really good sign, and it's a testament to Marie-France and Patrice, Romain, the whole school in Montreal. They've really welcomed us with open arms, and every single day we go into the rink, and we're in awe of the atmosphere they've created, the brilliance with which they coach, both technically and artistically. It's so inspiring, and it's really fun to be students again. And, you know, competing, we'll have to sort of find our rhythm again. As
right.
Scott mentioned, it, you know, we've taken quite a bit of time off, yet training feels natural, and we're loving that structure again, and I think that's something we really miss.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm by no means an Olympic athlete myself, but I would imagine that something new and different probably makes it feel fresh. I also want to know from you guys, how does training alongside the two-time world champions? You've got some young guns in Papadakis and Cicerone alongside, mm-hmm. and you know, does that offer sort of a new challenge, or how do you deal? I know you have the experience of dealing with that from the past as well.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit different, but we've always loved to train with rivals. I mean, I don't even think we're quite ready to be mentioned in the same sentence as them. You know, we've been big supporters of Gabrielle and Guillaume, and
mm-hmm.
We feel that they've really taken ice dance to a new level, and we love training with them every day, and we knew that they're extremely talented. We knew that they obviously had to work hard to get to where they've been, but what's really surprised us about them is how good of people that they are. And, you know, they're really quite easy to train with. They just push themselves every day, you know, very similar. We benefited for so long training alongside Marilyn and Charlie. And, you know, we don't see this situation being that different. But,
right.
You know, what really sticks out with Gabby and Guillaume is they're so caring, and they just have fun every day. So, you know, we hope that we have a pretty good perspective on coming back, and we really want to enjoy ourselves. Like we really miss the sport, and we miss skating with each other and doing programs that we love to do. So, you know, seeing how much they enjoy it every day and how much fun that they have, it truly does inspire us and, to kind of keep our heads clear and keep that good perspective.
Right. Tessa, I feel like I saw you having some fun with Guillaume at, was it a hip-hop class this summer?
Yeah, we've taken a few hip-hop classes together, and, you know, just spending time with both of them outside of the arena, they, mm-hmm. you know, are so multidimensional and have so much insight to offer. It's been really wonderful, and, you know, we could go on and on for this entire interview about how much we love Gabby and Guillaume, but needless to say, it's been a joy to train with them.
Talk to me a little bit about your programs this season. You revealed them in late August, and then we obviously saw them at Autumn Classic, but a Prince medley, I think, for the short dance, and then very contemporary with Sam Smith. I guess how much has that excited you, those two programs, and what sort of change has that been from what you guys have done in the past? Because you weren't around the last couple seasons when we've had, you know, the lyrics come in, and it's a whole new ball game, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that For us, you know, sometimes there could be too much lyrics now that, you know, they're available to the single skaters and the pair skaters at all levels. It is too much sometimes. So we're trying to just make sure that we pick classic music that we love. And for us, it's always just been about connecting. And we need to know right away if we connect to a piece of music or not, because you're going to listen to it all year long, and it needs to be fresh at the end of a 12-month season. But Prince isn't a very hard... Prince felt like a little bit like our Pink Floyd program, whereas there's so much music and so much great music, it's almost a shame, and it's really difficult to cut that down. So we keep saying that we fully expect that one day we'll have to answer to Prince, and if he's looking down at us now, he might not be too happy with the cuts, but we had to make it into a three-minute program. So we're going through his library, and I think we came up with something that hopefully is not too insulting to him, but we love, and it's just he's such a fun artist to skate to, and you know, he has such a range of style and, you know, how glamorous he was. So we're trying to do a little bit of that too, reflected in our costumes. It's a huge challenge, and in a way, it's the big shoes to fill, for sure. So that's kind of the short, and then I'll let Tess talk about the free.
Well, the free, I think we were fairly certain we wanted to do something a little bit more contemporary, and Marie France played us the first piece of music, which is Pilgrims on a Long Journey, and instantly we felt connected. We love the sound of a cello in an arena. There's something about those minor tones that are so hauntingly beautiful, and we loved that piece. That was sort of the, you know, and that connected with Sam Smith because there's the cello that goes through, and of course Sam's voice is, there's such raw emotion there. So, you know, the storyline being kind of about second chances, and throughout the program, you know, we're dealing with some loss and some pain as a couple and needing to support one another in various ways at various times, and then coming together in the end and sort of finding our rhythm and finding that pure joy and elation in being together. So it's been fun for us to explore that. And, you know, admittedly, at the start of this whole comeback process, I think we were so cognizant of wanting to be different. We wanted to do everything different. And, you know, every single day we would show up, and that was our mission. But Marie France and Patrice were so good at reminding us, you know, it's not starting over. We're just building on, you know, the style and the technique and everything we've already established as a team. So I think they were very good at sort of bringing us back to baseline and thinking about it a little bit more holistically, and you know, overall, it's a really fun program to skate. It's a neat program to connect with, and I think there's, you know, as far as storyline goes, there's so much that happens in the 4 minutes of
three. Right, Scott, you mentioned a few minutes ago not feeling like you're quite at the level or being mentioned in the sentence with Gabrielle and with Guillaume, but how then do you set expectations for this season? What do you want to achieve? Is it certain things that come from within, or how, you know, what do you walk away from 16, 17 being happy with?
That's a great question. And, you know, our goal, I don't think we made it a secret that this comeback, if you want to call it that, it's kind of the buzzword we're trying to stay away from, but I think I've said it three times in this interview.
I know, me too.
I think we can call it a comeback. That's okay.
Yeah, I just want, every time I want to sing that, like, Cool J song, don't call it a comeback. Yeah. But yeah, back to that, your initial question.
Yeah.
Our goal is Korea in Pyeongchang, and we want to be at the Olympics, and, you know, we want to keep this fresh perspective. We really want to enjoy skating, but our expectations are always going to be the same. I don't think any competitor goes into a competition and doesn't want to win, and that's truly what I believe. So we will be the same. We're competitors. We like to win, but having said that, 2 years off is a long time, and to think that we're just going to jump back in here and, you know, take our crown back, like, if you can call it that, or be right back up there where we were with Marilyn Charlie,
right,
would be foolish. And, you know, it's not just Gabrielle and Guillaume, it's all the teams, obviously, you know, our ex-training mates, both Maddie and Evan, and Maya and Alex, you know, they've really stepped up as well, and everyone's raising the bar, our Canadian teammates. So we need to make sure that we make a splash and kind of let people know that, yeah, we want to win, but we need to get back in that conversation again. And I think that's what we're going to use this fall and this season kind of for. You know, we want to be aggressive, and we'll be looking to win events, of course. But at the same time, it's just about like what Tessa talked about, which was raising our level of technique and kind of building off where we were before, so that in order to be successful and where we want to be in 2018, we know we're going to have to be so much better than anything we've ever done before. So
I guess, yeah, go ahead.
16, 17, what's a success then? You know, I guess staying true to what we want to accomplish as artists and as athletes.
Yeah.
And maybe the results this year aren't quite as important, but it's easy to say that in October. I think when March comes around, we'll be singing a different tune.
Tessa, when we talked at Worlds in March for Ice Network, I asked if you guys had the fear of things going wrong, if things went very terribly wrong in this comeback. Are you past that point? Do you feel like now your skates are underneath you and you've got sort of a pattern back to being at least on track to where you want to be?
Well, there's always a risk. For sure.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, after a summer of such rigorous and intense training, it's nice to know that our base is solid. And, you know, we've really been working on our fundamental skating skills. We've built our whole team. We're working with an organization called B210 for all of our off-ice needs. So everything from nutrition to physio to mental prep. And so I feel really confident in the capabilities of our team. And every single day we're learning to be better and stronger athletes and smarter athletes. So I guess the nerves will always be there and the stress, but I think we're past the point of, you know, thinking, oh, is this a mistake? Is this, you know, are we going to fall flat? Because already we've learned so much, and it's been such a rewarding process. And there's nothing, as an athlete, there's nothing more satisfying than pushing yourself to the limit and seeing how far you can go, and we're continuing to do that. So that feels nice. And I think,
right,
you know, Scott mentioned the different perspective we have. We've learned that we really have to skate for us, and we have to enjoy this, you know, the process, the highs and the lows, and I think we're really embracing all of those challenges.
Let me do this real quick, mostly just to embarrass you. Olympic gold medalists, Olympic silver medalists, 2-time world champions, 6-time world medalists, 4-time medalists at the Grand Prix final with 15 Grand Prix medals to your name in total, and 6-time Canadian national champions.
Oh.
Why, all of that is to say, why this comeback, even though you don't want to call it that, Scott? Why then this last push at coming back one more time?
We missed it. I mean, it's as simple as that. I think we had, we were very, very lucky. We've had a fantastic career. We've been very fortunate to have the support of our communities, of a country, of world skating fans. And that's what was so great, I think, about Sochi is afterwards, that was enough for us, really. I mean, we were very comfortable walking away from that competition and kind of hanging our skates up and being happy with a career. But then, you know, it started to come back into our heads, and we just can't imagine sitting at home while the Pyeongchang Games are happening and our teammates are walking in and marching, and we're not a part of that. And I think if we're lucky enough to still have a shot at a third Olympic Games at 30 and 28, we both felt like that was an opportunity and something, a chance we had to take. And you can't do it forever, because we will be sitting at home in 2022. Let me assure you that. But, at the same time, we just miss the feeling of competing. Like,
right,
it's so exhilarating, and we love doing shows. We love performing, but we're competitors, and we really miss that. I miss the training, and as cliche as it is, here it comes. Like, man, we love training every day. We love being on the ice with each other, and that structure and being business partners with Tessa is something that I really miss. So, you know, kind of being back in that is so fulfilling. And in my honest opinion, I think we owe it to each other and ourselves to do that as long as we can.
Yeah. Back on the Grand Prix stage this weekend at Skate Canada, obviously the two of you included in the ice dance field, but you've got some big names in there too. Capolino Linote, Chuck Bates. Tessa, how do you sort of look at things shaping out in Mississauga?
Well, we've watched the last couple of years as big fans.
Right.
So we've been watching these teams. It'll be maybe a little bit surreal, you know, sharing the ice with them again, but it's not new to us. We've competed against mostly everyone before in this field. And I think, you know, our focus just has to remain on our own skating, and we'll be surrounded by our incredible team. We'll be prepared. And I think it's a really good test for us. You know, we're still maybe getting a little bit of the rust off, you know, competition wise. So I think it'll be really a good challenge for us to perform in front of a home crowd in Canada and to make things official. You know, we're really back and in the thick of things. But we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think everyone else is looking forward to it, too. You guys aren't alone. Well, thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you so much to both of you for joining us. You can catch Tessa and Scott this weekend on Ice Network at Skate Canada. And Scott, I think it's okay. We can call it a comeback.
All right, I'll let you do that.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Always such thoughtful questions.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining us on episode 3 of Ice Talk, the new figure skating podcast from Ice Network. A big Ice Talk thanks to John Coughlin for being a downright awesome guest, as well as Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer for taking time out of their busy schedule to speak with us as their comeback reaches full throttle. Again, feedback from you is always welcome. Tweet at us at Ice Network or me at Nick McCarville. You can find this podcast posted on icenetwork.com when it goes live, or subscribe to our page on iTunes. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, a big thanks to my producer, Kate Sullivan. I'm Nick McCarville for Ice Talk. Thanks for taking us for a spin, and we'll talk to you soon.